thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. We want to remind you that these online resources are never meant to be a substitute for God's good plan for you to be present, connected, and serving in a local church under the care of qualified elders. If you live in the West Toronto area and are looking for a local church, we encourage you to come check out one of our Sunday services. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
Amen. Well, speaking of prayer, let's pray right now. And before I pray, I do just want to affirm again those Wednesday morning times of prayer. We had such a sweet, beautiful time of prayer on Wednesday morning where we were casting our anxieties on the Lord, and there were tears and there were cries for help, and there were just moments of giving our burdens to Jesus Christ. And it was such a beautiful time. I want to encourage everyone to be there with us, because it will be the thing that keeps us strong and keeps us moving and keeps our perspective in line. So let's pray right now, recognizing our desperate need for Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, O Lord, for this church family. We thank you, Lord, for the access we have to the throne of grace even right now. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, that every word of God proves true. We thank you for the entire scriptures, and we thank you specifically for giving us Ecclesiastes. And we pray, God, I pray so much that we who are perhaps on a search for meaning, in a pursuit of happiness, wherever we find ourselves, whether we've been Christians for many years or just exploring today, oh, I pray that you would speak to us in a way that teaches us, instructs us, strengthens us, positions us well in this life, to live well in this life for your glory. And so I ask you for your hand to be upon this time. And this time, Lord, let it be an act of worship unto you in my proclaiming and in our hearing. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. And if you agree, please say amen. 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 All right, we're jumping back into our series today. We got it started. We took a break. And now we're jumping back in Ecclesiastes. And here's the tagline of the series: A Wisdom and the Meaning of Life. Ecclesiastes, Wisdom and the Meaning of Life. Right away, do you want to know meaning in your life? Are you searching for meaning? Our text today, the preacher of Ecclesiastes in our text today, is concerned with showing us the very different ways that we are on a pursuit for meaning in this life. He's concerned with showing us all the different ways we try to find meaning in this life. And we'll see how we employ these different methods in our text today to try to find meaning. And our preacher in our text today is very concerned with showing us also how these ways that we try to find meaning in our lives always radically bring us to falling short and leaving us feeling completely empty in the end. These different pursuits, these different avenues we seek to find meaning. So right at the outset of our series, we saw that the aim of the preacher in Ecclesiastes was to bring us all out of the fairy tale of what we wish life was. And all of us find ourselves in this fairy tale of what we wish life was, what we wish life could be. He's concerned with bringing us into the reality of what life really is. And today the preacher seeks to solidify his argument by appealing to his own human experiences. His argument that life is short and elusive, it cannot be controlled, it cannot be mastered. Today he's going to prove to us from his own experiences that there is truly no ultimate gain in this life and in this world. But he will also bring to us a much-needed ray of sunshine, a bright light that will begin to break through the darkness of all the hevel, the smoke, the brevity of life, the seemingly depressing things that he was bringing to our attention. There's a ray of sunshine coming our way today, and it's here that the preacher will show us how accepting the reality of life's emptiness actually makes way for the possibility of true happiness. He's going to show this to us in our text today, how accepting the reality of the emptiness in the pursuits that we follow after, actually accepting this makes way for the possibility of true happiness. So the title of today's message is this: Happiness, Death, and Joy. Happiness, death, and joy. Please take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, and we're going to pick up where we left off. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 12, and we're going to cover all the way to chapter 2, verse 26. I'm not going to read the entire text, but I'm going to read some main sections, and then we're going to unpack the rest as we go along. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, starting from verse 12, it says this. It says, I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. He says, it is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after the wind. Jump to chapter 2, verse 10. He says, and whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done, and the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. Jump down to verse 14 now. He says, the wise person has his eyes in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And yet I perceive that the same event happens to all of them. Then I said in my heart, what happens to the fool will happen to me also. Why then have I been so very wise? And I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For of the wise as of the fool, there is no enduring remembrance, seeing that in the days to come, all will have been long forgotten. How the wise dies just like the fool. So I hated life because what is done under the sun was grievous to me. For all is vanity and a striving after wind. Look at verse 24 now. He says, there is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to the one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. Striving after wind. That's a theme, that's a phrase that comes up often in our text today. And today the preacher of Ecclesiastes confronts us with the way things really are again. And I want to show you a few things that's going to help us in our lives and in our pursuits in this life. Today we are confronted by the preacher in Ecclesiastes with a few things. Number one, you can jot this down. Today we're confronted with the empty pursuit of happiness. Today we are confronted by the empty pursuit of happiness. This is the truth that the preacher confronts us with right away. The truth that we all want to be happy. All of us, every single person on the face of the earth wants to be happy. And the truth that this pursuit of happiness in itself, in this world, never actually results in happiness. Rather, the preacher wants us to know and confronts us with this reality, this pursuit of happiness in this world ultimately results in and produces emptiness. Why? Because as he says again in verse 11, there is nothing to be gained under the sun. In other words, life in this world, as we saw last week, is short. Happiness is elusive, and there's no ultimate gain in the here and now. Instead, speaking of his own pursuit of happiness, the preacher describes his experience with these words, striving after wind, chasing after wind. Just when he felt like happiness was in his grasp, just when he thought that he'd obtained satisfaction, just as he sought to lay a hold of that which he always imagined would complete him, the happiness, the satisfaction, the fulfillment, it slipped right through his fingers. He says it was like striving after the wind. It was like chasing after the wind. It was like trying to lay a hold of the wind. This is how life is, says the preacher. This is how our pursuit for happiness in this life is. It's like a striving after the wind. Just when you feel like you have it, it slips right through your fingers. Now, we all know what this feels like. But deep down, we work really hard to ignore this insight. We know how the novelty, for example, of a new thing wears off when a newer thing is released. Just when you feel like you have your hands on happiness, a newer thing is released and all of a sudden it's gone. You want something else. We all know the excitement of a big thing until an even bigger thing is released. We all know the rush of anticipation when a rare thing becomes available until that thing is not so rare anymore. And we all know the inevitable letdown that almost immediately comes upon us when we hold that newer thing in our hand, or that bigger thing, or that more rare thing for the first time. We can almost tangibly feel the happiness slipping through our fingers. You know what I'm talking about. We can almost feel the fulfillment slipping through our fingers. No matter what we get our hands on in this life, there's always something more. There's always a longing for more. When we feel like we have happiness in our hands, it's like a striving after the wind, because just when you feel like you have it, it slipped right through your fingers. We all know what that feels like. And there are so many different ways we try in this life to grasp for happiness. But just in case we're not exactly sure, the preacher sets out to confront us very specifically and directly from his own pursuits and the results of his own pursuits to teach us what our pursuits will inevitably lead to. So I want to show you just four ways we try to find happiness in this life, four ways we try to grasp on for meaning in this life.
Through wisdom and knowledge. I want you to notice chapter 1, verses 16 to 17. The preacher says this. He says, I said in my heart, I have acquired great wisdom, surpassing all who were over Jerusalem before me, and my heart has had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I applied my heart to know wisdom, and to know madness and folly. Watch this now. I perceived that this also is but a striving after wind. And so the preacher set his heart on acquiring wisdom and knowledge, and he had it. And he says, when I had it, I thought it would complete me. But when I had it, I realized it was like striving after the wind. Just when I thought this would give me what I needed, it was like a chasing after the wind. When you hold that diploma in your hand, when you complete that master's degree, when you receive that honorary doctorate or PhD, when you've finally been recognized by your peers as an authority on a particular subject in your workplace, and you think to yourself, surely this will make me happy. Surely my understanding will make me happy. Surely what people think of me now because I've acquired wisdom will make me happy. But you realize quickly that it doesn't. It is in itself like a chasing after the wind. Four ways we try to find happiness and meaning in our lives: through wisdom and knowledge. Secondly, this, through pleasure and fun. Through pleasure and fun. Notice chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. He says this. He says, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But behold, this also was vanity. I said, of laughter, it is mad, and of pleasure, what use is it? And so he sets his heart to go after wisdom and knowledge, and he finds that he's coming up short. So next stop in his pursuit is pleasure and fun. He says, I'm going to give myself to laughter. I'm going to give myself to pleasure. I'm going to give myself to any pleasure that I can experience in this life. And he comes to this conclusion, what use is it? Why? Because it's like striving after the wind. This is so significant, loved ones, because there are so many people in our midst, in fact, everyone in the world, who have decided in their hearts, I'm just going to put my hope in fun. I'm just going to put my hope in pleasure. Now, some of us, we've experienced some hard things in our lives, and we've tried some different things at acquiring happiness. And some of us, even in the church, have talked to so many people, they just come to the end of themselves and they just said, I'm just going to give myself to pleasure and fun. I'm just going to drink something. I'm just going to smoke something. I'm just going to do something I've always wanted to do. And I think that's going to meet me where I need to be met and satisfy the desires of my heart. This is what people are doing everywhere on a pursuit of happiness. If it's not through wisdom and knowledge, so many, maybe even you, have said, I'm going to give myself to pleasure and fun and laughter and wine. That seems to be working in so many people's lives to bring happiness. I'm going to try it. And maybe you're trying it and you're realizing, as the preacher has realized, what use is it really? That's what he says. He says, what use is it? Because just when he felt he had happiness in the palm of his hands, through every pleasure you can imagine, it slipped right through his fingers, and he realized it was like striving after the wind. Four ways we try to find happiness and meaning in our lives: through wisdom and knowledge, through pleasure and fun. Thirdly, this, through work and accomplishments. Through work and accomplishments. Look at chapter 2, verses 4 to 6 now. He says, I made great works. He says, I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made for myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. So the preacher pursues wisdom and knowledge. He gets it, but there's no lasting happiness. He pursues pleasure and fun, and he gets it, and he finds there's no lasting happiness. Now he says, I'm going to put my hand to the plow. I'm going to build some things. I'm going to work really hard. I'm going to accomplish some things. Surely this will give me a sense of achievement and happiness and satisfaction and fulfillment. And yet it doesn't.
It doesn't. The preacher had accomplished quite a bit, in fact, more than many of us could ever imagine. Listen to what David Gibson wrote about this. He says, he discovered that although we pursue happiness in every corner of our lives, in the same corner lurks the darkness of diminishing returns. In the end, achievements and pleasures do not last. Happiness is a vanishing vapor. You see, the preacher is solidifying his argument that there's no lasting gain in this life. He's solidifying his argument through his own experiences. And so many of us in this life, we are working. Maybe we are workaholics. We're trying to find achievement. We're trying to find accomplishment. We're trying to build things. We're trying to work so hard because we think in the end, that's what will make us happiness, will make us happy. The preacher says, it will not. You'll find that it is like a striving after wind. Just when you think what you have accomplished will give you fulfillment, it will slip right through your fingers. And I know that there are many probably among us who have built something or worked hard on something or accomplished something, and you know the feeling. That's it. I thought this was going to give me fulfillment. I thought this was going to make me happy. The preacher wants us to know there's no lasting and ultimate gain in this life. And he's rehearsing his experiences to solidify this reality. Four ways we try to find happiness and meaning in our lives: through wisdom and knowledge, through pleasure and fun, through work and accomplishments. Finally, this, through money and possessions, through money and possessions. Notice chapter 2, verses 7 to 8. The preacher says, I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I had also great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the sons of man. The preacher has accomplished and gathered for himself not only wisdom and knowledge and pleasure and fun and work and accomplishments. Now he sees the emptiness of it all, and he goes after money and possessions and power and sex. He's going after it all. And it wasn't enough that he had wisdom and knowledge. It wasn't enough that he had achieved pleasure and fun. It wasn't enough that he had work and accomplishments. But he had all the money, the abundance of possessions you could ever imagine. If we looked at this preacher in our modern times, we would think if there was ever someone who could be happy, it would be this guy right here. He had everything. He had all the money and possessions you could imagine. And yet, he comes up short. He said of himself in verse 10, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. He gave himself to everything. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure, in all my toil. And this was a reward for my toil. So what's the problem? Well, here's the problem in the very next verse, in verse 11. He says, then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind. And there was nothing to be gained under the sun. Loved ones, here's what the Word of God says to us today. Here's what the preacher says to us. I know there's so many of us who are on a pursuit of happiness. This is what we all want. And in one way, shape, or form, we are all pursuing it. The preacher says, in this life, there's no lasting gain. Loved ones, hear the Word of God to us today. From the words of the preacher, the one who had it all and said it all and heard it all and experienced it all, you can have all the money and possessions and fun and pleasure and accomplishments and wisdom and knowledge in the world, but these things in and of themselves cannot produce lasting happiness. In fact, they only result in emptiness because there is nothing, the preacher says, to be gained under the Son. And if you are chasing after these things, if you think just a little bit more money, just a little bit more accomplishment, just a little bit more achievement, just a little bit more recognition, then I'll be happy. If you're believing that in your heart, the preacher wants to bring us out of the fairy tale and into real life to tell us that's not how life is. It won't make you happy. Recognize it. Acknowledge it. Stand with your feet firmly planted in reality. If you're chasing these things in hopes of finding meaning, your pursuits will continue to leave you empty, because happiness does not consist in anything this world has to offer. Today we're confronted with the empty pursuit of happiness. Are you on this pursuit? Are you on this pursuit of happiness, trying to fill the void of your heart with so many things? Are you on it? And if you're on it, doesn't it feel like you're chasing after the wind? Just when you feel like you have something that will fulfill you, it slips right through your fingers. Happiness is not to be found there. Today, loved ones, we're confronted with the empty pursuit of happiness. But secondly, today we're confronted with the universal problem of death. Not only the empty pursuit of happiness, but the universal problem of death. I want you to notice chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. It's fascinating. The preacher says, "The wise person has his eyes in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And yet, watch this, I perceived that the same event happens to all of them. Then I said in my heart, what happens to the fool will happen to me also. Why then have I been so very wise? And I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For of the wise as of the fool, there is no enduring remembrance, seeing that in the days to come, all will have been long forgotten." Watch this. How the wise dies just like the fool. You see, the preacher has come to terms with something, that there is a looming reality for every single person who walks the face of the earth. The looming reality is death. And the preacher comes to a shocking discovery. He discovers that no matter what he accomplishes in this world, no matter what he does in this life, no matter how much wisdom he has, none of it can produce true happiness. And regardless, he will never be able to avoid the looming reality of death. No matter what he does in this life, no matter what he accomplishes, death is the reality for everyone. In fact, he realizes that regardless of what anyone does, the same fate awaits them all. All of humanity has to contend with the universal reality of death. And so he went on this pursuit of happiness, and he found that he continued to come up short. It was empty. It was vanity. There's nothing to be gained in this life. And then he realized, what am I doing? There is this reality of death that I need to contend with, and I've been distracting myself from it all of my life. Now, this is our problem. Now, we do everything we can to avoid thinking about death, don't we? We do everything we can to distract ourselves. We spend our entire lives trying to distract ourselves from death. Why is this a problem? And what is the preacher getting at here? Well, we need to remember the preacher's aim is to demolish the fantasy of what we wish life was and what we often pretend could bring us true happiness in order to bring us into the reality of what life really is. Remember his aim. He wants us to stop distracting ourselves from death, because it is just a reality of life. He wants us to stop distracting ourselves from death and to begin facing it and accepting it, because until we're able to face the reality of death and accept the reality of death, we will never be able to break free from the insanity of chasing after the wind in hopes that it will satisfy us. You see, this is what we do in our lives. We spend our entire lives ignoring this one inevitable reality, this one thing that is certain in life, that we all will die. We spend our life trying to ignore that reality. Instead, we chase after things that we hope will make us happy. The preacher wants us to stop distracting ourselves from death and start accepting it, because that's real life. And only when we begin to accept the fact that we will all die, that life is short and elusive, we will never be able to free ourselves from this insane pursuit of happiness that continually leaves us empty. Just think about this, loved ones. Why are we so afraid of death? Why are Christians who have the hope of Jesus Christ, who have the hope of eternity, so afraid of death? Why do we try to ignore it? Why don't we like to talk about it? Could it be because we truly believe that this life is ultimate gain? Could it be because we believe in our hearts that all of our pursuits in this life are actually able to provide us with true happiness, so we try to preserve this life as something that could meet the deepest longings of our hearts, such that we don't want to think about moving out of this life into the next? We ignore it and we continue to chase happiness. Could it be, loved ones, that we have our hearts and our minds so often set on the futility of this life, and that is why we distract ourselves from this one thing that is sure to be for us, that we will die? Today we're confronted with the empty pursuit of happiness. We're confronted, and we can't wiggle our way out of it. We're confronted with the universal problem of death. Finally, this. Today we're confronted with the beautiful potential for joy. The beautiful potential for joy. I want you to look at chapter 2, verses 24 to 25. He says, there is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink, and here's a different tone, and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? Now this is profound. There's a profound realization happening in the mind of the preacher. Here we have the ray of sunshine that maybe we've all been looking for. There's a reason why the preacher spends so much time showing us the empty pursuit of happiness. There's a reason why the preacher wants us to see and embrace the imminent problem of death. He's not trying to be depressing, but he wants us to be realistic, because it's only through a realistic perspective on life and death that we can actually begin to know joy and enjoyment. But so few experience it because we insist that there's a better way. We insist that this life is ultimate gain. We insist there is a way to joy and enjoyment, and it comes in this life through the things of this world. We insist there's a better way than the preacher is commending, just embracing and accepting death. Why, loved ones, for example, do we worry so much in life? Why? Why do we worry so much in life? Because when all of our hopes for happiness are in our cars, for example, we worry that our cars will be dented. Why do we worry so much in this life? Because when all our hopes for happiness in this life are in getting into medical school, we worry in a debilitating way that we won't get into medical school. Why do we worry so much in this life? We worry because when all our hopes for happiness are put in our spouses, we worry that our spouses will fail us. Why do we worry so much in this life? We worry so much because when all of our hope for happiness is in this world, we do everything we can to preserve our lives in this world, to control our lives in this world, to master our lives in this world, to ignore the reality of death. And the preacher says, this is a horrible way to live. To try to control this life as if this life is all there is. I want you to listen to this, loved ones. David Gibson said the following, and I found it so insightful. Bringing us out of the fairy tale of what we wish life was into the reality. Listen to what he said. He said, everything in this life is not all there is, but everything in this life is what there is. I'm going to say that again. He said, everything in this life is not all there is, but everything in this life is what there is. And the preacher says, what there is comes from the hand of God as a gift. And here lies the possibility for joy in this life. Here lies the possibility for enjoyment in this life. We don't look at this life as if the things of this world are all there is for joy and happiness, but we look at this life with these lenses. It's not all there is, but it's what there is. And the preacher says, all of this comes, he says, from the hand of God. This is where joy becomes a possibility. And when you realize that all there is in this life, all that we have in this life, it's not all there is, no. There's no lasting gain in this world, but it's what there is. And when we realize what there is comes from the hand of God, then instead of trying to control life because we believe it's all there is, we are free now to enjoy life because it's what there is. And it's what there is by the hand of God. What we have, our experiences in this world. It's not all there is. We're all going to die. All of us. And that's not a depressing thought. Firstly, if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ and you know hope, but it's not a depressing thought. Also, if you consider this life is not all there is, but this life is what there is. So I don't put all my hopes in it. So I don't have to control it and master it and preserve it. So I don't have to be anxious about everything in it. Instead, I can enjoy it. Because what there is not all there is, but what there is comes from the hand of God. So, loved ones, today, enjoy a meal. Not because it's all there is, but because it's what there is, and it's given from the hand of God. Loved ones, when the sun comes out, go and enjoy a walk by the lake. Not because it's all there is, but because it's what there is. And it's given by the hand of God. Loved ones, enjoy a workout in your basement. Not because it's all there is, but because it's what God has given. Loved ones, go and plant a tree. Go and smell some flowers. When you walk into the grocery store, enjoy and rejoice in the fact that you have money to purchase groceries. Enjoy life, having been set free from the emptiness of pursuing happiness in it. Enjoy life, not because what we have in this life is all there is. Enjoy life because it's what there is. And the preacher says, what there is comes from the hand of God. Pick up the phone and call someone and enjoy a meaningful conversation. Not because it's all there is in this life and my hope is in it for salvation, but because it's what there is and it's given by the hand of God. Enjoy your favorite dessert. Stop worrying so much as if this life, you must preserve it and master it and control it. It's not all there is. You see, loved ones, you see, when we are free, when we're free to accept the reality of death, that this life is short and elusive, one day I'm going to die, this life is not all there is. When you finally accept it, now you can enjoy it. In the pursuit of happiness, there's no happiness, only emptiness. But through the acknowledgement of death and accepting it, there is a reality of my existence in the world and when it will end and what comes next. And I'm just so thankful we have a hope. And our hope is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He makes it possible as we live in this life with all the difficulties and trials. He makes it possible to find enjoyment even here, because what we have is not all there is, it's what there is. Loved ones, we must remember, this truth liberates us to find joy in this life, but we must remember, this world is not our ultimate home. Don't get too settled in. Enjoy the gifts that God has given us. Be free from the anxiety that ensues from trying to control and preserve this life. But remember, this world is not our home. It's a vapor. We're just passing through. Enjoy the gift. Don't act like it's gain. Serve Jesus. Fear God. Because soon we will be home in true happiness. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for your word, how realistic it is, how filled with truth it is, that it is the truth. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would teach us the different ways that we try to chase happiness and we find ourselves chasing after the wind. Help us to see the emptiness of it. Help us to look upon the reality of death not as something to be feared, but because of the grace of Jesus Christ, something to be realized is a reality. And then comes ultimate true hope. And help us to know, O Lord, we need you to help us. Help us to know that this world is not all there is in light of that reality.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.